Today, my guest is Marcus Smith. He is the technical director as well as lead set designer and lead set constructor for Shoe Swap Theater in the current production of Distracted. Welcome.
Good morning.
It's so very nice of you to join us. I know that you have been putting many, many hours in at the theater lately. This is a big jump for you to come out for an hour, isn't it?
Well, you know, apparently I still have to have a job, too. I don't know why. It seems exaggerated.
You theater people, why do you think you have to make money as well?
I'm not really sure. Maybe because they don't pay us there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that could be it.
You got to eat, I suppose.
Yeah, well, we had pizza at the theater the other night. I was living off of that for a couple of days.
Yeah, that should do you for a week, right?
Yeah, well, you know, show up at the theater right after work, have a bite of pizza, crack a beer, and hope for the best for the rest of the night.
Well, but all seriousness, you have been putting in a great deal of work into this as technical director. The production of Distracted has been very demanding. It's a very unique kind of production. Maybe before we get into the details of that, though, you can give us a little bit about your background and how you came into this particular position.
Well, I am a stage whore. That's basically how we start off. I started back in junior high doing a little bit of acting and then through high school, and I just love to perform. So I didn't actually ever think I would be doing anything technical on stage. This is my first time doing tech for a show, and it's been incredible. I've spent over a decade at Shoe Swap Theater with the Shoe Swap Theater Society, and I've never once been a tech person. I've directed, and we did a little bit of tech when we did our stuff for Emily. And that's the closest I've ever come to doing anything technical. Other than that, I just thought that the stage was the place for me. And this has been an incredibly, well, overwhelming experience, to be entirely honest, but really, really rewarding as well.
But you are an electrician, so of course you're already in the zone.
Yeah, and I had to do quite a bit of wiring for this show as well and troubleshooting with that sort of thing. So that kind of background made a big deal or really big difference when I was trying to figure out what the heck was going wrong when I had issues, and there were certainly lots of those.
Well, let's go back to Emily quickly. That was a very impressive visual production. And so were you involved with the technical of that as well as directing?
A little bit. Kim McMillan and I spent many hours poring through paintings of Emily Cars and just figuring out what would look best on stage, what would work best for the scenes, and also what we could get the rights to as well. Mm. And the technical side of that was more involved in making sure that it would show up properly on stage, make sure it could actually translate from the piece of art, which, I mean, Emily Carr is a fabulous artist to begin with, to something that actually makes sense for us in the show, which wasn't as much of a challenge as you'd think, because the challenge was really making it come down to using just enough images. We had so many to go through. I mean, I think I still have folders and folders of Emily Carr photos and paintings. And it's just, it was a lot more simple than this, because finding that sort of thing was more about paring it down than it was about expanding the idea. And whereas in this show, we're taking something small and figuring out how we can translate that in a different fashion. Often, well, in this case, we're using video as well, not just still images.
Okay, well, so tell us about, in the production of Distracted, what kinds of technological things are you doing?
Well, what I'm doing is we're using a thing called the Triple Head to Go. It's expanding our desktop of our QLab computer and making sure that we actually have three different independent surfaces that I can work with, so I can show different videos on each screen. And so that means that we're doing stills on those, we're doing videos on those, doing sequences of cues that kind of show up and just build the show as a whole, and making sure that it's something interesting to watch, but also doesn't draw you out of the whole show itself. It has to be really adding to it, not pulling you out of it.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned that you'd like technology to be sort of a character in this production rather than just an add-on to help the actors and help the set.
Yeah. If there is a fourth wall to a stage, I think this is the fifth wall, and it kind of, you don't want to break that fifth wall. It's that way that we can sort of make it grow the show and show up as someone that, almost like a narrator, I guess you could say. We've got the tech there almost as a narrator, and it's because of the way the show was written and the way it's directed, it's about Mama, who's the main character. It's about her memories, and it's telling her memories. So it's her story. So all these things are coming out of her mind in a way. So we use it like that, so it can be used in an ethereal sense, but it's also used in a very tangible sense. So Dad sits down, the couch turns on the TV turns on, and so you can see what he's watching, you can see him channel surfing, and they go out to a bar. You know, we've got sports games coming up so that you can see that, you know, they're in a bar. So it's also really helping set the scene, and it becomes part of the set and also part of the story. And that was, I mean, that's part of why I wanted to be involved in the design and construction, because I needed to make sure that my screens were in position so that you could see them well in the audience, and also so that they would work for each scene individually and provide those different areas on stage that kind of reinforce the action. Because of the way the scene's set, or because of the way the stage is set up, we've got a very, very small stage, so we had to make very good use of said stage in making sure that each area on the stage isn't necessarily a separate area, because they have to play double duty. We've only got one defined area on the stage. Everywhere else is kind of everywhere in Mama's life. So, you know, whether she's in her neighborhood or she's in a doctor's office or she's at a school, mm-hmm. these all have to be interchangeable wherever she is. So we use the tech to reinforce that so that, you know, there's a blackboard when she's in the school, for example.
Right. This is a very contemporary production. Because, I mean, right now in our lives, we're hit with images no matter where we go. The TVs are always on, no matter what restaurant or place of business you go into, it seems. So, in a way, like, you're really addressing how we're being overwhelmed with digital images right now.
Yeah, and I think that's how I originally approached it when I started doing the tech for it, was how distracting all that stuff is. But at the same point in time, for me, the challenge was making sure that it's not distracting itself, because you want to make sure that it's illustrating that sort of concept that there's always something going on. We're always watching this, that, or the other thing. We've always got a screen in front of us. But for the actors on stage and for the audience, if you're distracting them with the tech, it's not working.
Right.
So yeah, it helps tell that story of how we are being distracted by our technology, et cetera, et cetera. Because even though we are being distracted by all those screens, I couldn't have done this without them, without all that high tech stuff, without using a really advanced queuing program for my sound and video, which is high tech, which is also another screen that I had to sit at. We couldn't have been able to build this thing that teaches this story and talks about the distraction. But that's not what the whole story is about either.
Well, let's talk about the story. What's the premise?
Well, when I first read the script, I thought it was just simply that. It was about how tech distracts us from our everyday lives, and how whether our children have ADD or whether we have just as much ADD because we're constantly on our smartphones or we're looking at this screen or the other screen. But it's actually a lot bigger than that. It's more about a woman's struggle to decide whether her son has ADD and whether she actually is approaching it in the correct fashion, and whether giving her child drugs is a good idea or a bad idea. And it's a lot more humanity than I expected it to be. I was really impressed when I went through the script and we read it for the first time, how funny it was. There's some great moments in the show that just, they make you laugh out loud because it's just hilarious. But at the same point in time, it's so much more, there's so much more depth to it than that, because it asks some hard questions without actually having to ask them, just about our way of dealing with children today, whether we are over-diagnosing ADD and ADHD, and how that relates to our own lives, and whether we can actually make positive influences in our children's lives without having to just drug them and forget about them.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty deep. I mean, this is a thinking person's production too. They'll be able to go in and then take away a lot to consider.
Well, I think that the great thing about this show is that it's accessible enough that you don't necessarily have to go into it as a deep show either. There's tons on the surface as well. So, I mean, you can go there for a nice night out and listen and watch, and there's these funny moments and these nice little poignant moments that happen between the different characters, but it can make you think about those hard questions about whether we are doing the right thing by drugging our children. And I'm not putting out my own opinion on this. I'm just saying that we sometimes think about this in terms of what's best for society, what's best for our teachers, which is one of the things we talk about in this show, but we don't necessarily always think about what's best for our children, or our parents for that matter.
Right. Or the message even that we're sending out to the entire society, that when we address things in that way, to use pharmaceuticals to fix problems, the message is that there's always going to be a drug to fix the problem.
Oh yeah, there's a pill for everything, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, that's a message. When you send that to your kids, then that's what they're going to grow up with. And that's the kind of society we're building then. So it's definitely, you know, something I think that it's important to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. And this show, because of the maturity it approaches it with, it doesn't actually tell you what to think. It just asks the questions and lets you answer them yourself. And that's, I think, one of the stronger points of the show.
So the actress that plays the mother?
Teresa McCarroll, yes.
Interesting. She's wonderful anyway, but so how does she approach this?
Well, you know, I honestly wasn't sure what she was going to do in the role when she got cast, because she is also our administrative producer for the show. So she's taken on a lot of roles. And I should preface this by saying that, Teresa, I love you if you're listening. Last time, Teresa and I actually met at this, well, before we were at this school, she would love to tell you her story about catching me climbing out of the bathroom window when this was Sam Norum Elementary. So feel free to ask her about that after the show. She likes talking about it.
I'm sure she does.
She is someone who brings so much energy to the table, and Adele, the director, has done a great job of focusing that energy into this character of Mama. And I mean, I've been absolutely blown away. I wasn't sure what to expect out of Teresa. I haven't really seen her act before. Mm-hmm. And so this role, where she doesn't even leave the stage for the whole show, it's a huge role. It's not a small role by any stretch of the truth.
Yeah.
And then also being administrative producer is just, that's, she's done a great job.
Yeah.
She brings this, I don't want to say frenetic energy, but she takes all of this energy and focuses it into this character who just is ready to pop at any given moment. You can see that through each of the scenes where she's just trying to hold everything together, which is what the whole show's about, mm-hmm. and about this mother's struggle. And when it comes out on stage and it translates, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, she brought tears to my eyes just during our Q2Q the other day, and this is like in a 2-minute piece of scene. I was just absolutely blown away because I hadn't really seen her do it yet.
Yeah.
And it was just, it's just so powerful. And when we bring the images on screen and the sounds and the lights together, I mean, it's a very technical program for the lights too. It all just translates into this piece that becomes very powerful for the viewer, and I think for the actors on stage too.
Yeah. But speaking of multiple roles, I mean, this is very community theater, isn't it, where people are often on stage and backstage and behind the stage and early stage and everything. So that just reminds me of the last big production the Shoe Swap Theater did, Little Shop of Horrors. You were the dentist.
I was, yeah. I'm way nicer in real life, I promise. I don't beat women or have a sadistic side or pull teeth, for that matter.
You were wonderful in that production.
Oh, thank you. But I do sing and dance, so that part was real. Yeah. That was a huge show. I mean, pulling people together for that was incredible. We had a great director who just really brought out the best in everyone. And Julie's approach on that show was great, because she just made sure that she provided a safe space for everyone to work in and actually do what they do best. Mm-hmm. So between the band and between the actors and the set constructors, you just gave everyone the space to do amazing things. And I think it came off really well. I mean, we had night after night after night of sold out performances, and well, it's nice to do a show like that. And it was great to have the name too. It's a great way to start our season. And I mean, let's face it, community theater doesn't have a lot of money, so it was nice to have a couple of bucks in the bank.
Yeah.
So it was, yeah, and that's community theater, you know, bringing everybody together to do what they do best.
Absolutely.
And this show is much the same.
Yeah. Well, and what I did appreciate about that show, and I'm not sure what's happening in Distracted, but with Little Shop of Horrors, I really appreciated the diverse age range that you had, everything from those amazing young musicians to seasoned actors, we'll say.
Yes.
And I just love that inclusiveness. It's amazing.
Yeah, we've got everything from high school students up to seasoned film and television actors. So it's great. I mean, that's what we do in community theater. And sometimes it's just about filling the roles. And other times you have to expand that role a little bit to find out how that's going to work and figure out if that person's going to work for it. And honestly, we don't have a massive pool to choose from either. I mean, mm-hmm. we've got lots of great, talented people that can be there. But sometimes you want to just find that right person for the job. And it's great. We always seem to manage to do that.
Right.
And this has been no different.
Fantastic. Well, we'll talk more about the production in just a minute. You're listening to Artscape on Voice of the Shoe Swap, CKVS 93.7 FM. We'll be right back. Today I'm talking to Marcus Smith. He is the technical director and the set designer and the set constructor and the almost everything behind the scenes for the Shoeswap Theater production of Distracted. We were just talking about how amazing and inclusive community theater is, that you involve all kinds of people who are passionate about the theater. But in this production, I know that you've pulled in some other people in the community who aren't necessarily connected to the theater, just for this technical support.
Yeah, it's been pretty overwhelming, the support we've had. When I first started doing the tech for this, I did a lot of research to figure out how the hell we could even do it. I mean, when I looked at the words on the page and went, I see multiple screens. I want to do this with multiple screens, but how the hell are we going to do this? And I had no idea. And so I was told by Kim McMillan that QLab could do video. That's our queuing program. And I could talk a little bit more about that later if you'd like. But I didn't know how to do that, how to make it expand, because the computer we have can only do one extra monitor. So we've always just used that one output for our projector, and that's worked great for us so far. But with this show expanding onto these multiple screens, I had to figure out what was going to make that work, what kind of technology I had to use, and what kind of software I had to use for that as well. So I did my research, I did some digging around, and I found out that basically there was only a couple of ways I could do it. I could either use a really expensive computer with multiple displays out and hook that up and try that, or maybe use something else, something called the Triple Head to Go, which expands, which I ended up using. So I went down to Faster and Light Computing and saw Corey and Trevor down there and explained my situation and said, hey, this is what we're trying to do. Here's how I think we can do it. Can you look into this a little bit and see if maybe, you know, you could lend us a computer for it or a couple of computers and see how we could do that? And originally, I was going to be using three computers to try and run this and just try to hit the space bar and all of them, make them timed and, you know, time each computer separately, which honestly was completely out of the question. So they came down, we did a consult, and we talked about, you know, which way would be best and how we could expand the idea that I had into something, well, for one, simpler, and also more accessible in terms of hardware and software. So the moment they heard about it, I was just absolutely blown away by how excited they were about it. They were just stoked on the technology and excited that we could do something like that. And I think that maybe they're seeing in what we're doing, there's something that they can do as well in the future. So they donated a whole bunch of hardware to us, which the theater now has, so we can do this in the future. Wow. And I was just, the support I've had has been amazing. And I mean, Sonny from City Furniture, he hooked us up with the beautiful televisions I have on stage, and City Furniture has helped us out lots in the past. But I mean, they're not new for us. They've helped us out lots. Yeah. But when the guys at Faster and Light helped me out, they just instantly jumped on it. They jumped on the idea and they're like, well, how can we fix this? And it was, you know, text messages back and forth, emails back and forth, figuring out, how can we do this? Can we get this to you? Can we do this for you? And I was hoping that maybe, like, I mean, I have a fairly sizable budget for my tech side of things. And then they went right ahead and they're like, oh, here, this is yours. Oh, I was blown away. Yeah. And it was so very cool to see that sort of thing. And I mean, because the set construction was a little bit, it was busy, quite frankly, doing other things as well. I managed to rope my dad in to help me doing set construction, even my little brother one day. So it's been great, you know, just pulling people. I mean, my dad's never worked on a show here before. My little brother's certainly never worked on a show here before. And so seeing that sort of thing, and then I got busy with the tech. So I made sure that I was asking for help. Well, I didn't always make sure I was asking for help. I've learned to ask for help.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, talked to our tech producer and made sure that he was kind of helping us out. And he's got experience doing construction as well on sets. So that was great. He helped me out. And at the end of the day, I didn't know where the hell I was going to program all this stuff. So I talked to my friend Thea and said, hey, you've got a nice big living room with not much in it. Do you think maybe I could set up three TVs in there? And she said, yes, thankfully. I said, okay, now I got to find three TVs. So we put out an email to our membership, and I had a couple of members email me back, and they said, oh yeah, we got TVs. You can use them. No problem. And then I was still down one. So Trevor, again, from Faster Light Computing, he gave me his personal TV from home, his nice big 50-inch TV. So it's a very high-tech living room right now at Thea's place. I've got, you know, three screens set up there. I have the iMac. I've got the iPad set up and, you know, just running things all the time. There's cables everywhere. And, you know, I've got a power amp in there, some speakers, just so I can have all the sound working.
Yeah.
And it's just been great. People have been so happy to come forward and help on this sort of thing. And it's it's been really kind of overwhelming, to be entirely honest.
It's been very salmon arm.
Oh, so much so. Yeah, it's just been great how people have come together. And people just volunteer this stuff, too. Mm-hmm. It's not like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I asked for it. But for someone to, you know, just be like, oh, yeah, here's my TV.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. This is great. This is how I'm doing my show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's been awesome. Yeah. It's just been so nice to see that there are people that are really willing to support the arts and also us as people. And I've been using as many of my own personal connections as I can on the show because, mm-hmm. quite frankly, there's a lot to it.
Yeah.
And I've been happy to do that, though, because I don't feel like I'm taking it for granted. I feel like they're really getting what they've asked for when they say, well, here's what I can do for you, but I just want to know that you're doing something cool. And I'm hoping that people think that I did do something good with it.
Yeah. Well, I think that most people are very eager to participate in things like this. I mean, this is their culture too, right? Their identity. They want to help. And some people get busy with their day-to-day lives and they're not able to be highly involved with organizations. So somebody like you comes up and asks them to borrow something or to contribute something, of course they're happy to, because we all want to be part of the action.
It's, I mean, you get your own little piece of the pie, right?
That's right.
So,
that's
and I mean, like our sponsors on the show have just been amazing. You know, we've got a nice big list of sponsors that have made this entire show possible. And, you know, just getting stuff donated, like from Dancor Electric, like he donated a bunch of cable and a bunch of my adapters I needed, and then Faster and Light donating the triple head to go and a bunch of other adapters I needed. And then, you know, City Furniture, making sure we had televisions, Crown Furniture, making sure we had appliances and furniture on stage. And it's just been absolutely fabulous.
This must have been actually quite a challenge now that I'm thinking about it. If you're lead set designer and set constructor and technical director, like, are we going to see a thousand cords going back and forth between the set and the back room?
Not if I've done my job right. No, it doesn't go to the back room. That was one of the problems I ran into, actually. I wanted to run everything from the booth. So DVI over Cat 5 is how I'm running everything, and what that does is it basically just takes a single signal, converts it into a different signal, then converts it back so it can go into television, and it's supposed to be able to go about 100 feet. So I ran all my cables 100 feet and got everything set up. I had most of my cues built for the show, and we had our first tech day a week and a half ago. And so I get there,
just,
I set everything
up. Just saying, opening night is a couple of days away.
Oh yeah, it's Friday, whatever, no big deal. And so we got everything set up, and I go to show the director, and I go to turn everything on, and I have nothing. Nothing shows up on screen. I got nothing but noise on screen. There's just, like, flashes of green and all kinds of bad stuff, and me in panic mode, absolute panic mode, and just kind of a little bit frightened, to say the very least. And so I had to shorten up all of my cables to the best that I could, and for the show, we actually purchased an iPad so that we could run our QLab program from the iPad. So I actually have my own power amp from home set up backstage, and a bunch of my speaker cables and a lamp and the QLab computer backstage as well. And everything just runs to there, so I can keep all my cable lengths really, really as short as possible. Mm-hmm. And I sit up in the booth just with an iPad.
Oh, wow.
So there's nothing running because, well, I mean, right now there's a bunch of cables hanging down from the ceiling that I had to chop off. And sorry, Peter. I'll fix those today, I promise. And we wanted to make it invisible, right? You want to make the tech very visible, but very invisible. If you can see cables, it ruins the entire effect. You want it to be seamless, absolutely, absolutely seamless. Mm-hmm. And so no, you will see no cables.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the logistics of the show. So it opens on the 19th. That's this
21st.
Friday. Or where are we? Oh, it's 19th
isn't 19th today. Yeah.
God, I was gonna say. Just give me a second here to get myself in.
It's okay, I don't even know where
universe.
I am right now.
I'm not even in theater. So it opens this Friday, which is the 21st. And did you discover as a group that the running 3 weekends was a very valuable thing? Because I noticed that this production is running 3 weekends.
Well, this is what was this is something that was decided going forward by the last board of directors, actually. And we've talked about it again as board of directors now. I've been serving on the board. And we found that though there are certainly some people who can't get to the shows, unfortunately, because of the nature of the running over 3 weekends, we're actually able to access more people because most people can get there on the weekends. And so, you know, it's not always easy to get there on a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. So going Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday means we can get as many people through the door as possible so they can see the shows. And we will be doing this from now on. This isn't just for the last couple of shows.
Yeah.
A Little Shop of Horrors was the first one we tried it with, and we are really happy with the results. And I mean, in terms of both revenue and accessibility, I think that it really serves the community theater and also all of the community for that matter.
Yeah. Well, I find too that, you know, working at the Arts Center, we find that it takes 2 weeks for people to talk about things. And so if your production runs 10 days, a lot of people will miss it just because they've just heard about it. And then they go to get their tickets and discover the closing night was 3 nights ago. So running it 3 weekends, I think, is so valuable just because it takes time for people to have seen it and then go tell their friends and tell their coworkers. And I think that's very smart.
Well, and it's been really great because our ticket seller, which is at Entwined Fiber Arts, Thea, the same person actually I set up the TVs in her house. She is also on the board of directors, so she's happy to promote the show as well when people come in the door. So she's making sure even her customers know about the shows, and you know, she's got the poster out front for the show. So it's great. So that 3 weekends also with a business with high visibility on Hudson Street has been great for us, and I really hope it'll be good moving forward as
I think so too. So the production, like you said, runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Thursday nights are Thrifty Thursdays.
They are.
Okay. And then on Sunday it's a 1:30 matinee.
I guess so.
Well, I'm just trying to get it all correct.
I just live at the theater, so I don't actually know when things happen. People just start showing up. I'm like, oh, I guess it's time to go now. I should probably, you know, do what I'm supposed to do now.
Okay, and the tickets are $17 for adults.
They are.
And seniors are 15, students are 10, children are 5. And when you come on a Thrifty Thursday, all tickets are $10, I think, right?
Yeah, I believe that's what we're doing now. We used to do 2-for-1 on Tuesdays, but now we're doing Thrifty Thursday, right. So it's just slightly different.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're part of the Shugo program, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so youth can buy a $5 Shugo ticket and then go to Entwined Fiber Arts and exchange it for a theater ticket.
You bet, yeah.
Yeah,
and they can do that Also, have been trying to work with some teachers as well. So teachers, or actually students, can pick up multiple tickets as well, so that sometimes not everybody can get down there to pick up the tickets. So it's been great for children. I mean, we saw so many young people in the last show coming in that hadn't been there before. So the Shugo thing's just been absolutely fabulous.
We sold over 70 Shugo tickets during Little Shop of Horrors. Just saying.
And that's awesome.
I'll just put in this plug, like, the Arts Council subsidizes us. What they do, we consider it a member services because we sell the ticket for $5 to youth, but then we reimburse the organization's full ticket price.
Yeah.
So the member group for us, our member group, which in this case is the Shoes Up Theater, gets reimbursed for the amount that they would normally get for a student price. So for us, it was a bit scary actually selling so many tickets for the theater production because we also have Caravan involved and the opera's involved and things like that. So we kind of ran a little over budget this year already, but we're looking for sponsors now for that show because we think it's so critical to get young people out to live events. That's the future, right?
We need young actors too. I mean, we've been really blessed. Aiden Sparks, who's up at Samarum Secondary, is it now? Yeah. That's what it is. They keep changing the name. I don't know anymore. And he has been great just pulling people in from his musical theater program and stuff like that so that we can actually have new young people as well. So that's been absolutely fantastic. Right. So
it's the future.
But he's going to graduate. So we need people like you to promote Shugo and get new
bodies. This is the problem with brilliant young people. They graduate and they move away, which is fantastic for them. But we do have to keep replenishing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Website?
Website is shoeswaptheater.com.
Okay, so more information can be found on there or on Salmon Arm's website, www.salmonarmartcenter.ca. Also, there's a Facebook page. All you have to do is search it.
Find us there.
Thank you so much, Marcus. It's been fun.
Have a great day.
Thanks. Tune in next week for Artscape, more arts events in Salmon Arm.